I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
How's it? You guys are here with
Hello.
Me, Nick. And clearly Ronnie is here with me too. It's just the two of us this week, so I'm going to have to deal with Ronnie all on my own. We don't have a guest for you guys this week, but we sure hope you enjoyed last week's episode.
It was a really long one.
It was a bit longer than we generally go, but I think some good information in there on the doping landscape in the country.
I can start doping and maybe take you on.
Yeah, you'd need it, hey, Ronnie. But you're on holiday down in the Kruger at the moment. Much warmer there than it is in Pretoria, hey?
A little bit warmer here, just a little bit. Not really holiday, that's for sure.
Managed to spot any of the big five yet?
The
not
big
talking
five games.
About your biceps.
Yeah, no, absolutely nothing yet at the moment. But yesterday was a little bit about watching some rugby and watching two sides documentaries. So I haven't really spent time outside looking at animals.
Yeah, who needs the outside when we've got the TV inside with the rugby on, hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, a bit of Curry Cup action from this weekend. You know, the URC took a break, a pause for the cause while the European Championship was on. So South Africans got stuck into the Curry Cup.
Well, we're going to talk about some of the giant slayers that I often mention pulling out some big guns this weekend.
I can see you're excited because for the first time in 17 episodes, you've been proven right by the Grick Quiz.
Well, yeah, look, so we'll start off with the Bulls and Pumas. Well done, Pumas, I suppose.
Yeah, I think everyone was expecting the Pumas to win at about 70 minutes. The Bulls pulling off a miraculous comeback in that fixture to steal it, hey?
A miraculous comeback, yeah. Couldn't have said it better. No, absolutely. Bulls just take it at the end there. But I don't think the Pumas can be too despondent about their performance. You know, bounce the ball could have gone the other way and then they could have come away with a win. And I could have said, yeah, giant slayers, like I always say. But we'll reserve that title for the Grick Quiz.
For the future, yeah. I think Jimmy Stonehouse has really coached that team quite well. They have had a decent Curry Cup. It was an important game for them, though, to have dropped it. But yeah, Bulls ultimately winning 31-26. Definitely a surprise win. But also, Bulls needed that in their hunt for top spot of the Curry Cup. They were battling that out with the Cheetahs.
I'll be honest with you, I forgot that we were actually playing Curry Cup with the URC action going on. But we'll circle around to that. Look, good game from the Bulls. But I think for me, the one I really want to talk about is the Grick Quiz versus the Cheetahs. Because the Cheetahs were unbeaten.
Yeah, well, Cheetahs, like you say, they were going for their 10th straight win in a row. And then I'll let you have the floor, Ronnie, since it is your boys.
Well, just, you know, I just want to say to everyone, like I say every bloody week, the Grick Quiz are giant slayers. And you know what? And they've just proved me right this week by slaying the giant Cheetahs. So
that smirk says it all, eh, Ronnie. Guys, if you follow Ronnie's picks for your Super Brew, well done. You got your first pick right.
It's actually quite shocking that you keep saying that. You know, the listeners just have to kind of accept that for the truth, but it's not the truth. I'm whipping you in every single bloody Super Brew tournament. The ones we're playing under the Rugby Punted and the ones we play as a bunch of friends here in Pretoria. I just beat you in every single game I play.
I'm fairly certain I'm beating you in the Curry Cup, but that's a story for another day.
It's not a story for another day. Like, we might as well talk about it right now. Like, you keep bringing this up about me not getting anything right, but I'm whipping you in every Super Brew.
I've yet to see any proof of this, Ronnie.
All right. So one day when I get the password to your social media accounts, I will post so the listeners absolutely know the truth.
Ronnie takes over the Instagram for a day, hey?
Yeah. Grick was winning that and convincingly so. Like,
that's 46 points to 18. very surprising. You know, I saw Grick was leading quite well at the halftime. I thought, well, the last three games, Cheetahs have sort of come back in the last 20. France Steyn, Rohan Pienaar pulling them out of trouble always. Surprising loss for the team that was 9 games on
maybe
the
trot. Maybe it's the old age.
Yeah, so they definitely struggled there. They didn't get the result that they were after. Still second on the log, and they've got a game in hand, so that's definitely to their benefit.
Who's second on the log?
The Cheetahs. Yeah, okay. And they've got a game in hand on the Blue Bulls.
All right, well, okay, so they're still very dominant and in a very good position this season. That's just one blimp on their sheet, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll bounce back well. You know, sometimes a team just needs a bit of a wake-up call. And rather now than in the playoffs, you know, this might be exactly what the Cheetahs need to up the intensity and take the competition through the business end.
Just to prove that they aren't unbeatable, that they are still human. France Steyn is still not human. But then, you know, after that, we had the Lions versus Vierpia.
I think also a surprising result for me, hey?
No. I knew the Lions were going to take it.
Did you know that? Okay, because they put a lot of URC players into the Curry Cup or what?
No, just because I don't like Vierpia.
Ronald, we're going to have to one day do an entire episode on what your issue is with the Vierpia. But yeah, for me, it was a surprise. I thought Province were going to take that game. Lions comprehensively beating them 33-10.
Do you think that's because of the URC players?
I think it definitely contributed to it. I mean, putting some experienced players in there helped the Lions, who have been struggling terribly throughout the season. Starfly half Hendricks is with the Sevens now. So, you know, players like that weren't actually playing either. Bit of a balancing act from the Lions that paid off.
Tell me, Nicholas, what do you think about altitude for our South African teams when they go play? We always talk about the international teams when they come and play at Ellis Park and Loftus. You know, altitude's going to, they're going to struggle. But do we have the same thing with our South African teams from the coast coming up here?
So you're saying do the Sharks and Province struggle with altitude up here? Possibly. Yeah. I mean, the theory is transferable, surely. It's the same concept that we think holds weight.
You don't reckon they play often enough? They play often enough at altitude that they know what's potting. It's only the Irish that come over here that have never done so and really struggle.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And I don't know, what are your thoughts on it, Ronnie?
Yeah, I was just thinking about it right now. I thought I'd just slip it in there. I don't think I can blame it on I don't think I can blame the Vierpia loss on altitude. It was just a very dominant performance by the Lions. It's good to see, right, at this stage of the tournament.
Yeah, they desperately need it. I know some of our mates will be very happy that the Lions finally got something on the board. That's pretty much what you expect from the Curry Cup, other than the Griquas Cheetahs win. Sharks obviously having a bye for the weekend.
I actually got a little bit confused, like I said, with the URC and which team's playing when. And then I was like, but hang on, why are all these teams playing twice? And hang on, then I just saw that we were playing replays on the television. And then I got really confused with what tournament I was looking at. But then I finally just made sense of it all, realized that the Sharks were all sitting at home on the couch, chilling and preparing for next weekend.
You must really do that rugby colouring in book we got you, Ronnie. It will explain a lot.
I want to insult you so much right now, but we'll keep it clear.
Just got to push you far enough and then it'll come out, eh? But then we had a lack of Bri on Saturday and we got to watch the European Champions Cup. Let's start with the headliner event there. That was the La Rochelle versus Leinster game that took place in Marseille. What a game, hey. What an incredible fixture.
I was a little bit disappointed because obviously I've been quite a big fan of the URC in recent months. I'm going to say weeks, but it's actually been months. You know, I've been a fan of the URC. I've been a fan of Leinster, you know, topping the URC, doing incredibly well. And I was obviously backing them. I think you were backing them as well. And our buddy Shane was also doing so. And then, you know, La Rochelle they just showed some South African fire, if I could put it that way.
Yeah, three South Africans in that La Rochelle side, hey? So La Rochelle winning that fixture 24-21. Kick right at the death from Ihaya West, actually a New Zealand West. Player.
Yeah,
so the Southern Hemisphere winning that, actually. Dylan Laird, exactly. Raymond Rule, and Ihaya West.
No, exactly. And it was impressive tries from Raymond Rule and Lades. And like I said, Ohio West really controlled the flow of the game. Marshall did at 10 there incredibly well. In Southern Hemisphere players are top quality players. And I know one of your moronic writers for the Rugby Punted put out a post about the South needing to stand up and
are you
and
calling
be
me
quality.
The moronic writer?
Were you the moronic writer? Okay, so needing to stand up and show that they are the best rugby players. But, you know, you watch you know, in these big games around the world. There's always a couple of players from the South, you know.
And always involved in the big moments. Leinster putting on a big performance. They were ahead. They unfortunately just failed to protect that lead and build on it, which allowed La Rochelle back into the game. There was some really great attacking rugby. Personally, I love watching Tad Furlong play. Absolute machine up front.
He's an animal, eh?
Incredible, incredible player. But yeah, La Rochelle last year's runners-up. They lost to Toulouse last year. And this year, pipping it, taking it. Did you see the celebrations going on there? It is unreal. It looked like the Springbok parade after the 2019 World Cup.
Really?
It's unreal, Ronnie. I'll have to share the photos with you. It is unbelievable. Very, very happy with that win. I cannot wait to be involved in that competition next year. The Bulls, Sharks and Stormers all taking part.
Yeah, that's what I've been. I said to my dad, I think I said it yesterday, I haven't been this excited about rugby in years. Like, you know, I've always enjoyed the sport, but finally, I feel like we're in a competition that's actually going to yield something other than, you know, your run-of-the-mill same fixtures week in, week out. So it's not just a case of us playing in the URC. It's now a case of us playing in Champions and Challenge Cups and playing against teams from England, from France. You know, this is going to be exciting.
Definitely looking forward to it. And then if you look over to the Challenge Cup, which is sort of the second tier of the competition, Toulon losing to Lyon in that game. That's a mouthful. Lyon winning that fixture 30-12.
I consider that one an upset, really. I was convinced Toulon would take it. I backed them on Super Brew, and I was just like, that's a no-brainer, really. That was a real absolute dominant performance by Lyon.
Yeah, I was also convinced Toulon would take it. I mean, Etzebeth is in good form at the moment. Cheslin Colby starting out on the wing. And I actually think Toulon have the two best wings in the world at the moment with Villiers and Colby, both little powerhouses, incredible talents. But yeah, Toulon coming short, eh? Lyon pipping them comprehensively there, and quite a bit of controversy surrounding Ibn at the moment with his ruck clean out and why he wasn't sanctioned for that.
To me, I don't actually quite understand what it is that they're talking about there. I don't think it was as severe as people are suggesting on social media.
I don't see any big issue about it, and clearly neither do the citing commissioners, otherwise there would have been further action from it. So
then again, you can't trust the citing commissioners, though. They've given us some ridiculous bans in history.
That's also true, eh? Poor Buckies.
Justice for.
But yeah, so those are some really cool competitions, and exciting that we're going to feature in them, Ronald. Very, very exciting. Going to be exciting that I can take on to watch.
Yeah, exciting that I can take on the English and say that we're better than the English.
There we go. Sharks versus Saracens.
My only concern is this is sort of a new concept to us. Although this year we've had the Currie Cup play in parallel with the URC, and we've had to split squads and stuff like that. It is sort of a new concept for South African teams to be playing in multiple competitions. I think the Oaks are going to struggle. They're either going to fill their Champions Cup or Challenge Cup teams with, you know, the best players and put a second string in the URC, or the other way around, depending on what they consider to be the priority at that point. Problem is, it's a new concept to us South Africans. We're going to struggle for sure, I think.
Yeah, and I think you can't take how well Leinster did for granted. That was some proper balancing acts for them to be leading both the URC and the Champions Cup. Very, very good management of the team to have achieved that. I don't think that was easy at all.
Nick, I have to say, I think they found themselves in the perfect position, a little bit of luck, and all of a sudden they were out ahead and they could afford to push certain players into certain competitions. So it was a bit of a little bit of luck. But, you know, obviously there was some skill with respect to the management, but I think a large amount of it can be attributed to a bit of luck.
No, for sure. I agree with you on that. But I think also, The Northern Hemisphere teams had the benefit of starting the URC out with full squads. And then the South African franchises sort of played catch up in the second half of the season. So if South Africans want to compete well in the URC now and have momentum for the Champions Cup next year, we're going to need to start strong in the new season. We can't afford consecutive losses overseas like we did in this year or this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, Ronnie, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, two sides. Did you manage to watch the last episode last night?
I did. It was far better than streaming it online on DSTV, but I managed to watch it on a decoder yesterday. And aside from the ad breaks, it was a really awesome hour for me. It's a great show. Like, I want to take back what I said a couple of weeks ago, that I wasn't looking forward to it.
Yeah, for me, after watching that, I'm pretty sure I could fuck them up physically too. Some great motivation from Rassie and Jacques then. Even Urban, hey. Yes, I could tackle someone after being in that
change. I could run through a brick wall for Urban and for Rassie, and those guys give me a pep talk, you know, the way that they did it in the two sides, I'd run through a brick wall. But how many times did they use the F word, eh? It was,
Warren Gatlin used it. He's so prim and proper and, you know, trying to get this articulated message. Rassie, fuck them up physically.
Unbelievable. But it's genuinely, I thought it was very well done. I thought it was very well done. Episode one, episode two, and then, you know, topping it off with yesterday's episode. You know, there's two sides, sure. Maybe it was geared a little bit more to the South African side, but, you know, it's great. So I heard that there's a set of social media videos called The Other Side, which was produced in parallel to the two sides. So I'm not really sure what that's about, but I'm going to go and check that tonight when I get into bed.
Yeah, check that out and report it back to us next week. I think that's going to be interesting to see what that's all about. But yeah, definitely not as good as Chasing the Sun, but just as epic.
You reckon? I agree with you. Not as epic as Chasing the Sun.
Very good, though, to see behind the scenes like that, though. Just thinking about our Southern Hemisphere partners, you called me out for my article release today. Thanks, Ronald.
Oh, so it was you. Were you the moron that wrote that?
You know, the Super Rugby guys, there were some very interesting results in Super Rugby this weekend. I don't know if I didn't get to watch many of the games, but some very interesting results. New Zealand, what's going on?
I don't know if you heard me exhale there, but for New Zealand, you guys need to check yourselves a little bit. Because you're right, it was actually... I got a lot of calls wrong on Super Brew because the upsets happened that happened, you know?
Yeah. So I actually called the Rebels to beat the Highlanders 31-30 in that game. That
so was you a considered good one. That an upset?
No, I thought that was the way to go. But it's funny that Rebels and Western Force were the two worst teams in Super Rugby. They pipped the Highlanders. Western Force pipped the Hurricanes 27-22.
I'm really surprised by the Western Force taking the Hurricanes. I mean, if you look on Super Brew, that is an incredible underdog to back. So 2% of the people actually backed Western Force. Well done, Western Force. Well done, Rebels. I mean, nobody can actually say that New Zealand are dominant and Australia are nowhere because it's not the good results for New Zealand.
And I mean, even New Zealand's front runner side, the Blues, only beating the Waratahs by 3 points, 2017. Possibly the best thing for Super Rugby Pacifica. Moana Pacifica beating the Brumbies, 32-22.
So, you know, so considering Moana Pacifica's actually in the New Zealand league, it's pretty much the only team that did exceptionally well for the New Zealand team. So,
yeah.
But, as well, so that's a 1%, 99% of people back the Brumbies, and it just shows you that, you know, anybody can win on a given day if you play well enough. And honestly, the Moana game, if you go and watch the highlights, it's actually very, very exciting rugby. I felt, you know, there was a 95-meter try from Moana Pacifica, which just shows that these guys are ready to jam rugby and play some ball. So well done, Moana Pacifica. And you know what? Yeah. Okay, so we've just spoken about the last four games that actually had the Rebels pipping the Highlanders by 1 point, Western Force beating the Hurricanes by 5 points, the Waratahs only losing by 3 points. We talk about Moana Pacifica beating the Brumbies by 10 points, but let's not forget Fiji and Drua only lost by 1 point to the Chiefs. So that's another team.
Unreal,
that's another
game. Pointer. Did you see the fans watching the Drua? Hey, they couldn't get into the stadium. They climbed the bloody coconut trees and two fans fell out of the tree. That's commitment, eh? That shows how desperate they are for rugby in Fiji. So that's at least a good sign. But guys, be careful.
Be careful when you walk under a coconut tree, a rugby fan might fall under you.
Yeah, never mind the coconuts.
Well, okay. So, but I mean, look, that's 1 point. So that's four games. That's second place. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games that I felt were incredibly exciting and went and didn't go with the flow. I think the only game that was really predictable was the Crusaders versus the Reds. I mean, well done, Crusaders. You guys beat the Reds. It was very predictable. It ended with, you know, what everyone thought would happen. But then right after that, Fijian Chiefs, Fijian Drua versus Chiefs, Moana Pacifica versus Brumbies, Waratahs versus Blues, Western Force versus Hurricanes, and Rebels versus Highlanders. It just went, it was incredible. Hey, wow. So if you're a neutral, that was actually very good rugby to watch down from that.
Yeah, I think New Zealand's going to be stressing for the incoming Irish tour, hey?
So you reckon Ireland can take it?
I think it's a hell of an ask, but I think they're going to do far better than people expect. I answered that like a true politician.
in a somewhat roundabout here and there way.
Like Ronnie, I think that's about enough about Super Rugby, though. They don't miss us. Why should we miss them, or do they miss us? But yeah, URC, I agree there. The URC quarterfinals coming up this weekend. I'm very excited for that. That's going to be a lacquer round of games, four fixtures, eight teams. Then they move on to the semifinals. I think Shane said, you know, it's quite difficult for first place team to face eighth and for that eighth team to have good prospects of a win. But, you know, it just takes one game and a team can topple them and find themselves in the semifinals.
We literally just spoke about Super Rugby Pacifica. We talk about some of those upsets that happened there. So all we need is a couple of those and this thing will be flipped on its head. But we sort of kick off with an all-Irish affair.
I wonder if Munster's going to have Damien Dialende back. Either way, very big clash there in Ireland. It's not the only home fixture of the weekend, you know, where two home sides are clashing. But what's your pick for that, Ronnie? Is Munster or Ulster going to take it?
No, I think Ulster has this one in the back.
You think Ulster has it?
So. Yeah, I'm trying to think, why do I actually think that? But I think Ulster is just going to be quite comfortable with this one.
What's your pick? Ulster by what?
I'm actually going to do it right now as we speak. So I'm going to say Ulster by 7.
Ulster by 7. I'm going for Munster by 3. Then we go on to the All South African affair happening here at Loftus. I will be at that game. Buddy Ian's coming up from...
Could be down from Angola, could be up from Rhodes, Ireland. Could be, you know, he could be anywhere. So
he's a massive Sharks fan, actually. He traveled to Ulster to watch the boys play. Now he's traveling to Pretoria to watch them play again. And he's promised to show me his Sharks jersey this weekend.
he's originally a VIP supporter, but he's just one of those, you know, that saw the light and just kind of changed his mind and became a Sharks fan. But
yeah, enough about that guy. Let's talk about this All South African affair. I'm a little bit disappointed, right, as a South African, that, you know, we're going to be taking each other out in the quarter stages.
Let's hear how much of a traitor you are.
So history would suggest that it's in favor of the Sharks, right? So it's 5 wins apiece in the last 10 games. The most recent game in February going the way of the Sharks, and the game before that in 2021 in December also went the way of the Sharks. So it's a good run for the Sharks, and I kind of feel that the Sharks might be the Bulls' gammy team here. So I want to say the Sharks because my heart says it. I think the trend says it. The performance in recent weeks, I'm inclined to still remain with the Sharks, but you know what? I'm going to back the Bulls for this one.
Of course you are. I didn't expect anything less. So Bulls by what?
Bulls by 4.
Bulls by 4, hey. Ronnie, you're a traitor, and I actually picked Sharks by 4. So we're on opposite ends of that one. And is that a pick because we're trying to see that we get some points if it swings the other way by not much? I don't know.
It's sort of a consolation. It's a consolation, right? So if the Sharks win, then I celebrate. And if the Bulls win, well, then at least I get points on Super Brew.
Yeah, but you see, I'm going to be the one celebrating twice because I'm going to win Super Brew and my team's going to win. And then, as we said, you know, first versus 8th, Leinster hosting Glasgow Warriors. What are you expecting for that one?
I think the Glasgow is going to take this comfortably.
Proof that Ronnie is a moron.
Okay, so Leinster should take this one, right? So, you know, history would suggest, recent performance will suggest Leinster's been knocked out of the Champions Cup. Question is, are they going to rest some of those players? Are they going to put these players in here to get right back at it again? I think that Leinster need to be careful, though. If they don't consider this an important must-win game and need to put in a big, strong team, Glasgow could actually just cause an upset here. But you know what? I think for all intents and purposes, this is quite going to be Leinster's quite comfortably.
Leinster by what?
Leinster by 10.
Leinster by 10. I have Leinster by 15. So that's also an interesting one. I think Leinster's going to run away with that. And then last fixture of the weekend, Stormers hosting Edinburgh down in Cape Town.
Okay, so the South African in me is obviously going to say that Stormers are going to win this because we want as many South African teams to go through. And, you know, just Stormers haven't lost a game in a very long time in the URC. So their recent performance is very good. Curry Cup, not so good, but we've spoken about that already. DHL Stormers are going to take this one by, what do we think, Nick? I'm going to think 14.
I've got 11. So we're not far off on our scores, except the fact that you never back your team. I'm starting to question whether or not you really are a Sharks supporter. But yeah,
that's... almost failed my second year at university because I went and watched my team play some ridiculous friendly game. Remember that game?
Barney's Army. Yeah.
Yeah. John Smith's last game for the Sharks.
It's when they fired that hellishly big cannon in that stadium. That was an experience. And then, yeah, so Jacques Nienaber actually coming out yesterday saying or revising what he previously said, the Springbok squad won't be announced until all the South African teams are done with their duties in the URC. You know, it was previously supposed to be named this weekend. I think probably a good move. And like he says, you know, he wants the players to focus on their duties there. This is the closest they're going to get to test match experience before Wales arrives, and let them remain focused there.
I just have a question. Did you hear somewhere that he was going to do it this weekend, or were you just
convinced yourself? He said it before the end of May, after the fixtures, the last round of regular fixtures. And yeah, then he revised it now to say, no, it's going to be after the last team's done with their duties in the URC.
Okay, good, because I was going to discredit you as a rugby pundit for making up lies there.
Thanks, Rama. Well, unfortunately, you didn't get to prove that one.
No, look, so let's just unpack that a bit. I think he's done a good job here. It's important for our teams, our three teams now, to continue focusing on what's the task at hand. It's really the first year now that we have a big bash at the URC, at the title of the URC. We've got three teams in it, although two of them are playing one another. The Oaks need to remain focused. So it's a big ask for at least two of our teams hopefully progressing into the semis. At least one of them will, but... you know, the Oaks need to remain focused and they all still need to play like they all stand a chance of making Springboks. So I think it's a good move, logistically speaking, as the Springbok coach to do that.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me like you're hyped up for a rave, Ronnie. So are you raving or ranting today?
I'm gonna do a bit of a rant, actually. I'm a little bit upset these days. I spoke about it.
You make it sound like that's out of the ordinary. We've gotten used to this by now.
No, right. So last week I had a little bit of a situation and I decided to speak about something else. And now this week I am going to talk about the fact that it's been put out there in the social media, out there in the world, that
social media, don't give away how old you are on the TikTok.
It's been put out there on the line that South Africa won't be... Listen, I've got something to say here. That South Africa won't actually be hosting the Rugby World Cup anytime soon. So it just seems like the South Africans, whether it's men's or women's, people just don't just ignore us. We are the world champions. We're three times world champions. We've got the facilities. We did a 2010 World Cup football or soccer. And I think we did a sterling job of that. Although we did blow a lot of eardrums with our vuvuzelas, but it's just incredibly disappointing.
No more than the French did in 2007.
Yeah, but that was very exciting. So, you know, regardless, so you know, we've got the 2025 women's going to England, the Australia then to host 2027 and 2029's men's and women's respectively. Then we've got the USA. So it's 2031, 2033. And if, you know, history says that, you know, it's always one of the central time zones, then it goes out east, then it comes back into the central time zones, goes out east again. And now what they've done is they've gone east to Australia, and now they've gone all the way west to the USA. That would suggest that the next World Cups after that are probably going to the central time zones again. And that's probably going to be France again or something ridiculous like that. And it's just incredibly disappointing to see that South Africa keeps getting overlooked. Is it because our rand is worthless?
Well, maybe. That's also because the African Rugby Union voted against us, which is ridiculous if you consider that their offices are paid by SARU and in SARU's offices in Cape Town, and they still voted against us.
I think to me it's really a no-brainer to bring people from Australia and England and New Zealand and the USA and anywhere in Europe and Asia to come to South Africa and blow money on the what would be incredibly cheap for them, cheap alcoholic beverages, cheap food. You know what,
a brandy and Coke's like 30 rand. It's like €1.50.
It's going to be unbelievable for them.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna have the best time here. So it's just very disappointing to see. And I figured I will just put that out there. And I really hope that some of the people that might listen to this will go and put a comment on World Rugby's Facebook page.
Yeah. And if anyone's doubting that Dieter really is in the Kruger, we can hear the nature going on around you. So that's what that is. Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Very jealous of you being out there, but I think the nature's relaxed you. That wasn't such a bad rant. You could have gone much, much worse there, Ronald.
I'm not ranting. I'm just disappointed.
Me too. And then, Ronald, you know, 2 weeks in a row now you've guessed Saturday correct. You've had very, very good help from both Carla and Shane. Now I'm keen to see, are you going to be able to pull this off again without any assistance?
I'm a little bit overconfident. You could say I'm arrogant at the moment. So because I'm arrogant, I'm not confident right now.
Well, Ronnie, we have another Name the Player for you. As always, clues will be posted out on the page throughout the week, with the answer coming out on Saturday. And last week was Francois Hogarth.
Yeah, that was a bit of a tricky one, but I seem to be seeing through your clues at the moment, seeing your trick questions.
Well, let's see if I can throw you off a little bit today. So, name the player, Ronnie. This player's test debut was in 2004. He's the most capped player of all time for his country. He began his career in New Zealand. He's the first player from his country to have ever played Super Rugby. He played in the NPC, the Top League, Prem, Super Rugby, and Sevens. He retired in 2016, Ronald.
Okay.
What are your two questions?
So, two questions. Did I get three questions?
No, you get two. I'm tired of giving you three.
Shit. Okay, so how did his career start? You mentioned that his career started in New Zealand. I feel like that's a bit of a trick question. I want you to unpack that for me, please.
Okay, so his first professional game came for North Harbour in the National Provincial Championship, playing for North Harbour before he turned out in Super Rugby in a different country. I've thrown Ronald off here.
Okay,
What's your second question?
So my next question is, let's just talk about whether he was a forward or a back.
He was a forward.
He was a forward. Can I slip in a third question? No, I'm not going to do it. I'll
give you one more since you have
week. Okay. No. I'll stick with that. This is a very difficult one. And like I said, I was arrogant and overconfident, and that made me not so confident for today. This is going to be a difficult one, and I'm probably going to go for someone ridiculous. Like, I actually don't know who to go for. So you said he was a forward. I want to go for Sergio Parise.
Sergio Parise. Well, Ronnie, like everyone else, you're going to have to wait for Saturday to get that answer. This definitely was a tough one, but this one also plays nicely to our audience, actually. So
it can't be Sergio Parise since he retired in 2019.
He's not retired. Well, Parise is still playing for Toulon technically, at the moment, captaining them on the weekend.
So what you're saying is I'm already wrong.
I don't know, Ronnie. But yeah, guys, thanks for joining us this week. We hope you had a lacquer one. And yeah, let's get stuck into the URC this weekend. Hopefully some South African wins there. At least one South African team is definitely going through. So that's a good thing.